And welcome to the Educate Your Travel Podcast. Once again, my name is Jordan Carnes. Thank you so much for joining me today. I cannot wait to get into this episode, hopefully just invigorate you, get you excited about getting up, getting out, and traveling, exploring, and experiencing the world. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and quit talking so I can keep talking, and let's get into the episode. And welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me here again today. Today's going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to be talking about a certain location. I'm actually going to be kind of going over my process of how I plan for a trip. And if you listen to my Backpacking 101 or Asia Backpacking 101 episode a couple months ago, I kind of went over how I do this, but I'm really just going to focus on all the minute little details of how I plan a trip. You know, every location is a little bit different. I mean, I'm definitely going to plan a week-long trip to Paris differently than I would plan a four-week or eight-week trip to Asia that travels, you know, around 12 different countries. But, you know, from start to finish, I kind of follow the same pattern, you know, depending on what I'm looking for and what I'm trying to do. And so you can kind of follow the skeleton pattern, you know, no matter what your trip is, where you're going. And hopefully it'll kind of just give you a place to start if you never planned a trip or you're not really confident in doing it on your own. So the first thing that you obviously have to do is have a location in mind. And, you know, this can look very different for different trips. I mean, sometimes you might want to plan a trip based off of just like a theme. Like maybe you want a trip that revolves around art or hiking or just sightseeing in general. Or, you know, sometimes you might have a specific destination in mind. Maybe you want to go to China or maybe you want to go to India. You know, if I think about my trip to Paris that I took a few years ago, I really knew nothing about Paris. I just thought like the Louvre is there, the Eiffel Tower is there, you know, it'll be a fun week. And that's all I really knew before I started researching it. And, you know, obviously I found like 100 different things to do. But you kind of just have to have a starting spot and work from there. When I planned my 8-week backpacking trip to Asia, you know, it kind of just started off with, I want to go to Angkor Wat and I want to do the Everest Base Camp trek. And from there, it just grew. You know, you kind of just like look around on a map and say, oh, well, India is next to Nepal and, oh, Myanmar is over there next to Cambodia and, oh, there's Vietnam and there's Thailand and Indonesia, and it just, you know, turns into a whole entire summer. So if you just start off with one or two ideas, those ideas can grow into an entire trip, whether that's a week-long trip, an 8-week-long trip, whatever. So definitely start off with a theme, and then go ahead and just start researching, whether that is what are the top 10 things to do in Paris or what's the top places to visit in Asia? There are a lot of different places to look. I'm always looking at vlogs and blogs, podcasts, different forums like TripAdvisor. There's a few places that I would avoid looking. You know, I always do just type in like, what's the top 10 things to do in this place? And there's always like the first few links are for like Viator and places like that that sell tours. And so, you know, I always try and skip the ones that are selling you something, and then go and look for the actual helpful blogs of people who, you know, have visited the place. So, you know, definitely look out for the websites trying to sell you stuff. But you know, if you can't find anything, sometimes those give you a good idea of, you know, tours and where all the tourists go and stuff like that. So, go ahead and once you have an idea in mind, just start studying the location. Not only will this give you ideas of things to do, but for me personally, it just gets me excited for that trip. You know, I see pictures that people have posted, and I just read articles about different activities, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to go, and it just gets me pumped up for the trip that I'm about to take. Along with the vlogs, blogs, podcasts, all that kind of stuff, I usually look on like Instagram too. And if you just like search a place on Instagram or, you know, look up tags and hashtags, things like that, even, you know, like all these glammed up photos and things like that, if you kind of just look past that and you can really find some interesting different locations, whether, you know, you like photography or not, there's usually some cool pictures on there, and it'll give you good ideas of, you know, random places, you know, that might not be a top tourist location, but it looks pretty cool and it might be interesting to check out. So there's always a bunch of random places that you can look for, you know, ideas of what to do and where to go. So while you're in sort of the planning stage of what to do and where to go, I always start looking at flights because that can kind of make or break your decision about traveling. I mean, if I, you know, come across a $1,500 round trip flight for a week long trip, I'm probably not going to do that. That's like almost my entire budget for that week long trip. But, you know, if I find like a $400 round trip flight, then heck yeah, let's go. So looking at flights is usually one of my initial things. Like once I have an idea of a place I want to go, I'll probably check out the flights. And then if the flights seem reasonable, well then, you know, green light and I'm good to start planning this trip. So when I look for flights, I usually start off at one of those websites that kind of compiles all the data for you, like Skyscanner or Momondo is pretty good, or Kayak, something like that. Just because, you know, it pulls all the different airlines together and gives you the best rates. I very rarely purchase flights directly from these sites. I've done it in the past without any problems. But I've just found that you can pretty much find the exact same flight, maybe for like $5 or $10 more from the actual airline. And that just makes me feel a little bit more secure knowing that if something goes wrong, if COVID happens and I have to, you know, cancel a flight, that I have less, you know, different strings to pull in order to get my money back or to get a voucher. I can just go straight to the airline, take care of it. I don't have to go through all these third-party vendors to get my money back. And, you know, throughout the years, I found that although the deals on these third-party sites are cheaper for the most part, the actual airline flights are maybe like, you know, like I said, like $5 more. So it's not going to break the bank to just go ahead and go with the actual airline. Now, I've talked about this many times before, but don't be afraid to be your own travel agent and try and manipulate the flying process. You know, I live in Texas, and so for the most part, I always fly out of Dallas. But I found that most of the times, flights from like JFK, Newark, Chicago, just places on the East Coast, are going to be so much cheaper than flying straight from Dallas. And so I would say 90% of the time I never book a round trip flight from like Europe or Asia straight from Dallas. I always book it from one of these other hubs on the coast. I guess one of the craziest, well, I have a couple crazy ones that I've pieced together. But flying, I was flying to Athens and I flew from Dallas to New York. And you know, that was a separate flight. And then I flew from, New York to London and that was a separate flight. And then London to Athens and that was the third separate flight. So I found I honestly can't remember how much money it saved me. But even just flying from JFK to Athens was going to be significantly more expensive than, you know, breaking it up and flying just to London and then finding another airline to take me from London to Athens. So being able to split that up on your own will definitely save you a lot of money. I know the craziest one I've probably done is when I went to Turkey a few months ago, and I flew from Dallas to New York, New York to New York to Turkey. But then it was going to be cheaper instead of just getting off the plane there to instead fly from Turkey to Albania and then Albania to Serbia and then Serbia to Turkey again. It was pretty crazy and probably didn't make sense to a lot of people, but it saved me about $500 and I was able to spend about 12, 14 hours in Serbia, which was a great time as well. So, you know, that might not be something that a lot of people would want to do, especially if you're not, you know, used to flying or doing anything like that. But it was a pretty fun little side trip there and it saved me quite a bit of money. And so to me, it was worth it. It turned like a $1,400 round trip flight into like a $900 round trip flight. So it was totally worth it to me to do something crazy like that to save a little bit of money. So, you know, if you're not used to flying or if you're just not up for it, then, you know, go ahead and buy that flight directly from where you're leaving to, you know, your final destination. But the more you travel, the more you get used to it and comfortable, go ahead and, you know, try to leave from a different city. Just, you know, plug in different starting locations, ending locations, and see, you know, what the price differential is. Now, if you do that, you have to make sure that your layovers, you know, you have plenty of time on layovers because the airlines won't be as forgiving since you are putting this trip together yourself. But, you know, if you give yourself a few hour window, just plenty of extra time, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. Now, I actually do something pretty interesting, and I'll have to post a picture of this to really convey what I'm trying to say here. But whenever I'm planning a trip to multiple locations, so this would be like my summer Asia trip where, you know, I was flying to about 12 different countries over an 8-week period. Last summer, I was trying to put together a trip to Europe, where I was flying to like 10 different countries. And so I create like a matrix, and this matrix has all of my destinations on the left-hand column and all the destinations on the top row. And I kind of just go on one of these websites and I plug in, you know, how much it's going to cost to fly from one destination to the other. And so if I have 10 destinations, well, that's going to be 100 squares that I fill in with a price. And this just allows me to figure out what the cheapest route is along this trip that I'm planning. And, you know, this only really works if it doesn't matter what order you travel in. If you're on a time crunch where it matters, you know, where you're going and when you're going to be there, you wouldn't necessarily be able to do this and make this work in your favor. But, you know, sometimes it might work out where, you know, a flight from London to Athens is like $20, and then Athens to Frankfurt is $50, and then Frankfurt back to London is like $30. So there's $100 round trip. Whereas if you went the other way, you know, like London to Frankfurt might be $70, and then Frankfurt to Athens might be $30, and then Athens back to London might be $40. And so instead of spending $100, you've now spent $140. So just being able to kind of map out what's the cheapest route, especially if you have a lot of time to work with and no real time constraints, that's a great way to save quite a bit of money and just figure out what the cheapest route is around your destinations that you're looking for. I'll post a picture of that because it is a lot to look at, and it's actually, I really enjoy putting it together. It's really interesting, and it allows me to just see the price points as I'm, you know, walking my way through this. But I do enjoy math. I teach math, so for some people, it might not be that interesting, and you'd rather spend a few hundred extra dollars than put that thing together. But I'll post a picture of that so you can see what exactly I'm talking about. So, you know, flights are very important, especially if you're going to different places. Not as big of a deal if you're going to just one place. Pretty easy to figure out. Now, you know, throughout all the studying the location, you often run across other pieces of information. This could be bus routes. This could be, you know, whether or not a metro system works well. So I'm always taking notes. And, you know, if you run across a helpful piece of information, go ahead and jot it down. If you run across a price or how much something is going to cost that you might be, you know, looking to buy or something while you're on the trip, go ahead and jot it down. All these pieces of information, you know, whether you can find that website again or not, if it's pertinent to your trip, go ahead and jot it down so that you have it for future reference. You never know when you might need that information. So after, you know, you've looked at your airline flights, you've already begun really diving into what there's to do, in this location or these locations, plural, go ahead and start looking for lodging. Now, a lot of people, you know, especially if you're, say, backpacking Asia or something like that, they, you know, suggest that you don't even get lodging prior. If you're, you know, just going for like a week, definitely go ahead and book. But that's kind of just up to you. I always like to have my lodging ahead of time. It kind of gives me a sense of security knowing no matter what happens today, like I have a place to sleep tonight. And so, you know, sometimes things can go bad and you just want a place to go and chill out. And so if you have something pre-booked, you don't have to worry about finding it in the midst of whatever chaos might be ensuing. So there are a lot of different places to look. I usually use like booking.com or Agoda. Booking is pretty good for like hotels. Agoda is pretty nice for like hostels, things like that. And then don't forget about Airbnb. Now, most of the time you think like Airbnb is pretty expensive. But honestly, sometimes I've found Airbnb to be cheaper than a hotel, especially if you're going with multiple people, maybe a friend group. Check out Airbnb. The one thing I have noticed is that there's always that sneaky cleaning fee that's like twice as much as the actual rental. And it's like, why does it cost $50 for you to wash my sheets after I leave? Like, come on. So, you know, you find this Airbnb and it's like, oh, it's only $20. And then you go and check out and it's like, just kidding. It's actually $50 a night. And you're like, wow, that $5 hostel is looking better and better. So, you know, don't not look at Airbnb, but just remember there are some extra hidden fees in there that kind of make those nice prices not as nice. But definitely don't toss that out because sometimes it is actually cheaper. Like I said, especially if you're going with a group of people or something like that. Now, on top of that, something that a lot of people also don't like to do, especially if they're like backpacking, something like that, is creating an itinerary. And, you know, I usually create a pretty strict itinerary, but it's a pretty strict skeleton itinerary. And what I mean by that is I have everything planned out. And I have everything planned out, you know, pretty much just to the day. So the reason I do this is because I know that if I get to a location and I do not have an itinerary in place, I am going to get swept up in whatever I'm doing and leave that vacation with a long list of things that I did not do that I just totally forgot about because I was too wrapped up in what I was doing. You know, if I went to Egypt and I was at the pyramids, I could, you know, just stay there pretty much all day. But then at the end of the day, I'd be like, oh, man, I forgot to go to, you know, Saqqara. I forgot to go to the museum. So, you know, a lot of people kind of just go with the flow, whatever they do that day, that's great. But when I go on a trip, there are certain things that I want to get out of that trip, and there are certain things that I want to do. And if I don't do those things, I'm going to be disappointed with that trip and not, you know, have enjoyed it as much. And so I do write down an itinerary. And you know, it helps me save time. Most of my trips, I am on a time crunch, whether it's a week, or a couple weeks. And so, you know, I have to know the best way of doing certain things, sort of like my matrix that I make for my flights to figure out what route is the cheapest. I like to go ahead and figure out what route is going to be the fastest when it comes to, you know, what I'm doing. I remember whenever I went to Paris, this was like my very first trip that I made, I printed out a map of Paris and I kind of just like found all of the different things that I wanted to do in Paris and I marked them on the map. And then I grouped those things into sections. And so, you know, like one day I would be, you know, in Northwest Paris, and then the next day I'd be in Northeast Paris, and then Southwest, and then Southeast. And so that way I wasn't just running all over Paris, wasting time transiting everywhere. I could really, you know, take my time, and instead of being like, okay, I'm going to go to the Louvre, and then after that, oh, let's go to Versailles. That sounds fun. Let's go sit on a train for an hour and waste half the day. You know, I could just be like, okay, well, here's the Louvre, and then, oh, here's the Museum d'Orangerie, or here's Museum d'Orsay, that are, like, right next to each other. And so I could really just maximize the time I'm at a location because I did the prior research to figure out, like, hey, you know, these five things are literally within a block radius of each other, so I'm going to do all this stuff on the same day. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't change up your itinerary. You know, every time I go on a trip, I feel like I do more than I thought I would. In a day, I just get like on that vacationing high or whatever. And so I'm just like going nonstop, like 24/7. And so, you know, most of the time it's like, okay, I finished everything that I planned to do on Monday. What else is nearby? And so I might pull up a map and say like, oh, well, this museum is pretty close. So I'm going to pull this from tomorrow and go ahead and do it today. And so, you know, by the end of the week, you've done everything and you have extra time. And then I use that extra time to just, you know, go explore, you know, maybe look online for some other things that I might have forgotten about. So I do recommend just writing down sort of an itinerary of sorts, just to, you know, make sure that not only you're not forgetting certain things, that you're getting everything done that you wanted to, but then also if you are on a strict time limit, you're able to maximize what time you have because you've done the research, you've planned, and you have, you know, the best itinerary possible and the best route to do everything that you wanted to do. So, you know, after you've done all these things, make sure you buy that flight. I recommend buying, you know, an international flight within like 1 to 4 months to your trip. I find normally whenever I look for a flight, you know, sometimes if you're looking like 6 months out, the price is one thing crazy. But then you were like, well, let me mess around. So then you look at a flight like 2 months away and it's significantly cheaper. So mess with different dates. See, like, obviously a summer flight might be more expensive than like a May flight or, you know, a March flight. So, you know, that has something to do with it, but then also time to departure also has something to do with it as well. So, you know, if you look at a flight for July and it's like $1,000 round trip, and then you look for a flight in like March, or I guess now is March, so like next month, April, and it's like $600, well, you know, you probably have a couple hundred dollars that, you know, will come off that ticket price if you just wait a couple months. And if you start seeing it going up, well, maybe, you know, jump on it or, you know, just ride it out and see what happens. But more than likely, if you're trying to buy an international flight like 6 months or more away, it's going to be more expensive than it has to be. So just play with different dates. I mean, I probably mess around with flights more than anything else. I'll just randomly get on my phone. I have like the Skyscanner app. And I'll just try random flights, random dates. I won't even necessarily want to go to a country. I'll just have like heard something about it and I'll look up a flight and it's like, oh, that's super cheap. And then I'll use that sort of as my, you know, platform to jump into a trip there. And so then you're like, oh, well, there's actually a lot of things to do there that I didn't know about. After that, you know, you need to pack. Make sure you pack for whatever weather you're going into, whether it's cold, hot, whatever. This last trip to Utah I took a couple weeks ago, you know, it's Utah. You think it's going to be hot? I looked at the weather and it was supposed to be like maybe in the 30s, 40s. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I took like a pair of pants and like a hoodie and I did take my gloves. But then I get there and it's like 3 degrees and snowing. I'm like, huh, didn't necessarily plan for the Arctic over here. So, you know, some things you can't plan for, some things you can, but packing, obviously, you know, most of the time I honestly pack like a day or two before. I'm like, oh crap, my trip is like in 2 days, I'd better pack. I think my Asia backpacking trip, I did pack, you know, maybe like a week or so in advance just to make sure I had everything I needed. But you know, I feel like I just pack the same thing every time I travel anyways, and most of it's already in my bag. Like, all of my non-clothing materials, like my first aid kits, my headlamps, battery packs, everything like that's just in my backpack still from the last trip. And so I kind of just grab it and pick whatever clothes I think I'll need for the trip and I'm good to go. But, you know, planning a trip is a lot of fun, for me at least. I heard someone today talking about a travel agent, which I honestly didn't even know those things existed anymore. And the thing about travel agents, I don't think they charge you. I think they're free. They just like get commissions from like whoever you stay with, like in hotels and flights and things like that. But, you know, planning a trip is one of the funnest parts of the whole thing to me. And, you know, it might be stressful to other people. And so maybe it's sort of just a me thing that enjoys planning a trip. But, you know, having the freedom of picking where I'm going, you know, just doing all the research myself gets me excited about the trip. And then when you're on the trip, you're like, when it works like clockwork and it's just like butter, you're like, wow, I did this. Like, I planned this 8 week long backpacking trip and literally everything went without a hitch. And, you know, like those, you know, 50 hours worth of planning I did are really paying off. But not only that, you know, just like doing all the research, reading blogs, watching vlogs, listening to podcasts, reading TripAdvisor forums, all that stuff just really gets me pumped up about the trip. All these people are showing these awesome pictures and telling me about the incredible times that they've had. in these places that I'm about to visit. And that's just something that I don't know you would have if you let someone else do all the work for you. So, you know, definitely do a ton of research. Not only is it fun to do, but, you know, even if you're watching like a 10-minute long vlog and you get like this one little tiny piece of information about like, oh, go to the southeast entrance instead of the west entrance because, you know, nobody goes to that one and you'll have it all by yourself. Like little things like that, I'll watch a 10-minute vlog and if I pull that piece of information out, I'm like, sweet. Or sometimes it's like, oh, look at this statue right here. Like, this is really cool because of blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, cool. And I'll write it down. Like, I need to make sure I look out for that certain statue at this place. So, you know, definitely do a ton of research. Don't be afraid to mess around with different flights. Check out different routes, whatever you think you need to do to save some money. And, you know, if you're not comfortable with it, no big deal. You know, if you'd rather spend a few hundred dollars extra and let the airline take care of it, then that's awesome as well. For trips where you drive, there's not much else different. You might want to plan your route a little bit differently. You're not necessarily going to be looking like what's the cheapest flight options. It's really just going to be what makes the most sense driving time wise. But, you know, just figure out what the route is you want to take. Base your hotels off of that. Things, you know, it's just whatever makes sense to you, whatever's easiest, whatever you are going to enjoy the most. But definitely do your research and just have fun with it. Planning a trip should be fun. It should get you excited for the actual trip. And by the time you get to the actual trip, you should feel, you know, like you've almost been there before. You know, that's about all the tips I've got for you on this podcast today. If there's anything else you'd like to know about planning a trip, I'm not really sure what else I could tell you about, but if I didn't answer a question, if there's something specific you'd like to know about planning a trip, feel free to leave me a message. Let me know what you would like to hear. If you have any, you know, topics that you want me to talk about, feel free to drop them in the comments. I'd love to, you know, create an episode about whatever you want to hear about travel-wise. Don't forget to check out my Instagram. I will post a picture of my flight matrix so you can see the mess that is. Check that out at Educate Your Travel on Instagram. And remember, it's up to you to make your life interesting. So get up, get out, explore the world, take that next adventure, plan your next trip. And I can't wait to catch up with you next time.